We are in Doctrine and Covenant, section 49, and today we're just going to do verses 1 through 15. And this deals with Lemon Copley, who was a prosperous farmer and lived in Ohio. And a year after the church was organized, he is considering being baptized and finds out about the church. And he's a great man and offers his property to these LDS people who are coming in. There's a lot of similarities between Shakers, which were Quakers that got the nickname as Shakers because of all the shaking they would do. anyway, there's a lot of similarities. They were very strict. And so you could see that there might be some attraction to our religion. But there are a lot of big misconceptions. And in the student handbook, it says, it outlines those. So let me go through one, that deity is dual in nature. God is both male and female. They believe that Jesus came the first time as a male and then came the second time. They believed that he had already come as the woman, Mother Ann or Ann Lee, who was the founder of the Shaker sect. Okay, number two, they believed celibacy was a higher law than getting married, which is so interesting since we believe the very highest kingdom, you will live as husband and wife and raise children. And I have to say, as one who is married and has seen single children, the most selfless act is to marry someone else and learn how to lose yourself and put others' needs first with children and with a spouse. And not saying that you can't do that, not getting married, but it really is a schoolhouse and an education and an ability to do that. So it is interesting that they say celibacy, because I have to say there was a time in my life that I thought I can live alone and be perfectly happy. And of course it was before I met my husband, but I don't think that's a higher law, and obviously God doesn't either. So that's interesting. Three, open confession of sins. Thank heavens we don't believe in that. Four, community of possessions. That's kind of law, common consent. Five, separation from the world. We live separate too, right? We're in the world, but not of the world. Pacifism. Sorry, I can't speak, so no fighting. Seven, equality of sexes. Absolutely. Eight, consecration of work, consecrated work. Nine, continuous revelation. Absolutely. 10, external ordinances. Okay, the big thing here is they believed that there was no need for baptism, and that God, like sacrament and stuff, that had ceased when he was on the earth. So that's a big confusion. Christ's kingdom upon the earth began with the establishment of the Shaker Church. So that's when it was brought back. Okay. And the Lord had sent no one to preach until the Shakers were raised up. And then 12, and that's a lot like ours, right? We believe Joseph Smith. So I can see the same thing. 12, doctrines of the Trinity. Vicarious atonement and resurrection are completely untrue. So that's absolutely false. Disease is a sin against God. So if you get sick, it's that you've done something wrong. And abstinence from meat. Okay. So those were some of the things they believed. All right. So they come, and Lemon Copley comes to meet Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith gets this revelation for him. All right, so this is what it says. Hearken unto my word, Lemon, for behold, verily I say to you, I give unto you a commandment that ye shall go and preach my gospel, which ye have received, even as you have received it, to the Shakers. So he has called to go and fix these misconceptions with the Shakers. Now, these are people he loves. These are people that he has gone to church with and that he wants them to know the truth too. Okay, two, behold, I say to you that they desire to know the truth in part, but not all, for they are not right before me, and they must needs repent. And what this reminded me of is President Nelson gave a conference talk 10 years ago, and it came right back to mind when I read this. And it was called Face the Future with Faith. It was 2011. And let me just read this quote, because you'll probably remember it too. Teach a faith, and he's talking about to your children, to keep all the commandments of God, knowing that they are given to bless his children and bring them joy. Warn them, your children, that they will encounter people who pick which commandments they will keep and ignore others that they choose to break. I call this the cafeteria approach to obedience, and that's what came immediately flooding back. This practice of picking and choosing will not work. It will lead to misery. To prepare to meet God, one keeps all of his commandments. It takes faith to obey them, and keeping his commandments with strength will strengthen that faith. Okay, so I love that. So you don't get to come and say, well, we like this about your church and we agree with you about this church, but we don't agree with this. It's either true or it's not. And so you have to pray to know it's true, and you have to sacrifice your old traditions and your old beliefs and things that you went through. And everyone has had to do this that has come from previous churches and from previous places and from traditions that they've had. They've all had to do this. So this isn't unique. Okay, but they're in Ohio, and there's this huge sect, these Shakers. And so his commandment is specifically to go, and they're good people who are trying to follow God, right? And God is going to correct their errors. Okay. So he tells him to go with Sydney and Parley to do that. And then verse 4, you shall be ordained to this work. He may reason with them, not according to that which he has received of them, but according to that which shall be taught him by you, my servants. So he's supposed to go teach what these missionaries, what Joseph Smith have taught him, and go correct them, okay? Not vice versa, not teach them what the Shakers believe, okay, for the purpose of changing us. Okay, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, for I am God and have sent mine only begotten Son. So here, let's clarify very quickly what Jesus Christ is, okay, because that is a big thing that they are mistaken on. I am God, I am Heavenly Father, and I have sent my only begotten Son to the world for the redemption of the world, and have decreed that he that receiveth him shall be saved, and he that receiveth him not shall be damned. And that means you won't progress. If you don't believe it's him, if you're believing it's this Ann Lee, you will not have progression. You won't become more like God. It will go nowhere. And I did read in the history that they have almost completely died out. And so that's another thing that they say, if our church were not true, it would come to an end, right? When Joseph Smith was martyred, and as things have taken place, it would come to an end. But it's true. It's a true and living church, so it grows and flourishes. Okay, and so you really do, that's a huge thing, have to know he is the Son, a male, and the Son of God who came. And so they're fixing that, who came and atoned and died. And we have to repent, not in front of everyone, like you guys say, it's between them and proper authority, bishops. So he's correcting all of that. Verse 6, and they have done unto the Son of Man even as they listed. He has taken his power on the right hand of his glory, and now reigneth in the heavens, and will reign till he descends on earth to put all enemies under his feet, which time is nigh at hand. So obviously he hasn't come, he's going to come, and he will rule and reign, and he will set all things right. Verse 7, I, the Lord, have spoken it, the hour and the day no man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven, nor shall they know until he comes. And then verse 8, wherefore I will that all men shall repent, for all are under sin, except those whom I have reserved to myself, holy men that you know not of. And one of the things it says in the student manual is that is John the Revelator, the three Nephites who do not belong to this earth and this generation, that are here preparing and helping in whatever way to bring people to Christ when he comes again. And so I love that, these holy men that ye know not of. We know who they are, but it's true. I mean, it's going to be neat when he comes and we're like, oh, that's what they did and that's who they are. So I always think it's going to be cool. I wonder if we do know them and have seen them. Okay, verse 9, wherefore I say unto you that I have sent unto you mine everlasting covenant, even that which was from the beginning. And they are preparing for that. It's the temple. They don't even have it yet. Verse 10, and that which I have promised, I have fulfilled, and the nations of the earth shall bow to it. And if not of themselves, they shall come down. For that which is now exalted shall be laid low of power. 11, wherefore I give unto you a commandment, that you go among this people and say unto them, like unto mine apostle of old, whose name was Peter, verse 12, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, who was on the earth and is to come, the beginning and the end. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, according to the holy commandment for the remission of sins. And whoso doeth this shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands of the elders of the church. And again, verily I say it to you. Oh, we're going to end there. We'll go to 15 tomorrow, but because that goes into the marriage thing. But I love that he's talking about priesthood authority. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. And he corrects right there this huge fallacy of Jesus Christ. And it's just a great thing that we do know who Christ is, how much he loves us, that we're all our Father's children. He wants us all back. And then it says that Lemon Copley got some persecution. They kind of taunted him, saying Mormonism was an easier plan because we do believe in marriage, and he was married. So they felt like he was kind of caving to carnal desires. And he teetered back and forth for about 7 years and then just broke all ties between him and the church and broke his contract with people being able to have his land, live on his land. And one of the things that's sad is the way, if you read the history, the way it was handled. They did stand up in church. They had good ties with the Shakers, and they kind of would go back and forth teaching each other. And they did at one point stand in church and read this prophecy and this revelation to them, and kind of condemned them. And although they are a church that believed in publicly open confession of sins, they did not appreciate the church kind of calling them out on what they were doing wrong. And it really hurt feelings. And it says Lemon Copley was crying, was in tears. These are people he loved. And so you can understand why he would fluctuate back and forth. That probably seemed very cruel to him. And so it does make your heart go out to him. But here again, we are not a cafeteria style church. And there are going to be things that test us all. And if you have not been tested, then something will come. And you better darn well have a testimony that the church is true, because we're going to have to keep our eye on the prophet regardless of our pride and regardless of hurt feelings. It's going to have to matter that much to us that we go, okay, if that's what he says, then that's what I'll do. And so I love this, because I do believe that time will come for all of us where we will really have to swallow our pride and humble ourselves to listen and follow the prophet and change. And things that we have held on to, misconceptions, the doctrine will never change, but the practices do. And there have been many tests in my lifetime for a lot of people. And I really admire so many good friends who have weathered those and who have trusted, that their testimony has been, I don't really know why, and this is this is hard for me and hard for our family, but I believe the prophet is the mouthpiece of God, and I believe the church is true. And what stalwart examples they have been. I hope you know the church is true, and more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.